The book of Jude, I've been going through on Tuesday. I was sitting with Jake, and I got out my phone. I played a few of the songs that my grandpa was singing this last week, and me and him kind of enjoyed listening to those songs together. And Miss Truitt has about 200 tapes, but I gave her that she's going through for me and from my grandpa. But my grandpa used to love to sing, and he sang a lot of songs and loved to sing. And but one of the ones that he sang a lot, which you know, we've sung here a few times too, is "Get the New Look from the Old Book." And I think some of you know that one. Get the new look from the Bible. Get the new look from the old book. Get the new look from God's Word. Then it says, it's the inward look, the outward look, the upward look from the old, old book. And I want to speak to you this morning on the inward, the outward, and the upward look found here in the book of Jude. And Jude's going to speak of this starting in verse number 20. If you read that with me, you can stay seated this morning. In Jude, in verse number 20, says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Let's pray together. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your many blessings, and God, I love you. I pray that, Lord, you'd help us to look at your word this morning. Lord, as we study this inward, outward, and upward look this morning, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to us as only you can. I pray you keep a hedge about us. And, Lord, if there's anyone here this morning that God doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray that they today would see the truth in your word and that they would accept you today. Father, I pray you'd help every believer today to be strengthened from your word, to be taught, that we might all grow in our knowledge of you today. Father, be with all those that are traveling, be with all those that are sick. I pray that, Lord, you just bring them all back at the appointed time. Lord, now we love you. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Jude here speaks in these few verses of the inward, the outward, and the upward look. And I want you to see that here starting in verse number 20. And I kind of came to this passage and studying for my Sunday school lesson. We're studying right now on compassion and what compassion is. And of course, in that, I came to verse number 22, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But then the Lord really brought this text to me to share this morning. And I want you to see in verse number 20, first of all, this inward look. Now, Jude is kind of, this isn't a long book, obviously, just 25 verses. But he's bringing it to a conclusion, and he's kind of summarizing here that every one of us need to look on the inside. We need to keep looking up. And then we need to keep looking around us, all right? So here's that inward, upward, and outward look. Let's look at the inward look, how we need to look inside of ourselves, first of all. Verse number 20, it says, "But ye beloved." So he's talking to those who are Christians, those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ here. It says, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." The very first thing we are to look inside of our hearts today and to do some inventory today is this: are we perfecting? Or are we maturing? Are we, again, the word perfect in the Bible doesn't mean, you know, you never made a mistake. No one in this room, no one in this world has ever not made mistakes. Matter of fact, we're all sinners. Every one of us has sinned. Every one of us do it more than we wish to admit. I guarantee this week hasn't gone by that we've all come short of what we should have been. But the fact is here that we should, as Christians, have a desire to be maturing, or as the verse says, building up ourselves on our most holy faith. In other words, growing. It is so important that we are maturing and that we're growing in our Christian walk. You and I need to take seriously. The Bible says in that verse there, it says, your most holy faith. You know, it's kind of bringing out to light the fact that what we're doing this morning, this faith that we're talking about, this book that's in our hand, there's nothing more important in the universe than what we're talking about today. When we start talking about the Lord, we start talking about His Word, we start talking about salvation, we start talking about our faith, we have to understand, I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and then the world and news is full of viruses and elections and all kinds of things that make us say, right? You know, but the fact is this, there's nothing more important than what this book says right here in front of us. And the Bible says that every one of us need to make sure, as Christians, that we are building up our most holy faith. Now, the way that we do that is by studying the Word of God. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. God wants us to get in this book. God, why, and I want to encourage believers today to have a time every day when you get in the Word of God. And don't just read a verse, study it. Find something how what God wants to speak to you about. Another way we grow in our most holy faith is through sermons and preaching. That's why we come to church. The Bible specifically says that God has given us a church. He's given us pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for us to grow. So when we sit in church right now, understand this. In your life, sitting in this place right now, there's nothing more important than listening. What does God want me to learn today? And God has something for every one of us today, me included. God has something to teach us this morning. So we grow in our faith by studying the Word of God, by sitting under sermons, and then by, now this is important, ready? Because the first two things I said mean nothing if you don't get this third point. We have to study the Word of God, we need to be under good preaching, and then submit to it. Because if we don't submit to it, it doesn't matter. I did not say submit to the pastor. I did not say submit, you know, to what, you know, your Sunday school teacher said. Submit to the Lord. Submit to this book. If it's found in this book, have a surrendered heart. Say, Lord, I'll do it. That's the way we grow in our faith. So this inward look starts with us saying, and being honest this morning, it says, but ye beloved, so I'm first speaking to Christians today, you profess the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, listen to me, please answer the pastor in your heart today. Are you growing? Are you maturing in the Lord? There's only one way. We have to be in the book. We have to be faithful to church. We have to submit to the Word of God. So the very first thing we see is perfecting. Then the second thing, we have to look inside and be honest in this inward look. Let's keep reading. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Second question is simply this. Believers, are you praying? Now this is, this sermon is pretty generic, but isn't it amazing how we skip these things so often in our life? We've been studying on Thursday nights prayer. Boy, have I learned a lot in just our studying on prayer on Thursday nights. But the fact is this, you and I, believers, beloved, we need to take the time to pray. Take the time to fellowship with God. Take the time to lean on Him, to listen to Him, to learn of Him, as Daniel did, to praise Him, to make our petition to Him, plead with Him, to show our penitence and repent of the sin in our life. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Him and fellowship with Him? The Bible says here, Jude is wrapping up this letter, trying to help these Christians today, and he says, now listen, believers, you that are saved, listen to me, he says. He said the very first thing, he said, look in your heart and be honest this morning, are you building up your most holy faith? Are you growing in the Lord? Number two, are you praying? Because you will not be growing if you're not spending time in the Word of God and spending time in prayer. It's just a fact. And then, if we're going to be honest, we need to do this third thing. Are you perceiving or are you seeing God's blessings in your life? It says there in the next verse, it says, let's go back to verse 20. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, how do you keep yourself in the love of God? Again, Simple question, ready? Does God love you today? Absolutely, alright? I don't care who you are, God loves you. The Bible says, for God so loved the world. Are you on this planet? God loves you. Isn't that awesome? Alright? I don't care who you are, what you've done, what your past is, God loves you. Alright? And you say, but you don't know what all I've done. God does, and He says He loves you. He said, but I'm a wicked person, and while we were yet sinners, Christ showed His love to us and died for us. God loves you. Accept it. It's the fact. He loves you. You don't do anything to earn His love. He chose to love you. He just loves you today. So when it says, keep yourselves in the love of God, do I have to do anything to make God love me continually? Not at all. I didn't do anything to earn His love, and I will not do anything to keep His love. So what does that verse mean, preacher? It means this. Remind yourself every day how much God loves you. Let's just make it real simple. There's not a day gone by in the last 22 years that I have not loved my wife. I love her. It's never changed. But there's days that I've taken that for granted. There's days I've not said thank you to her. I was thinking about this morning, and I looked over at her this morning, and I told her, I just want you to know I love you. Because it's good to keep yourself in that love. Doesn't mean the love's there or not there. It's reminding yourself how blessed you are. When we first started dating, I would get these little, pass it alongs. I don't know if you've seen this. I usually had a scripture, a nice little saying on it, and I'd write her a note. I'd stick one in her Bible. We went to college together. I'd leave her a note in her notebook. She'd open up to where she was, and there it was, a note from me. Am I not so sweet? You're all staring at me. I am so romantic. I mean, it's just incredible, all right? I did things, because I just wanted her to know, right, that I was thinking about her, that I loved her, that, I just wanted her to know that. And the fact is this, all right? It's good for us. That's why we're having this thing on Friday night. It's good to remind us as husbands and wives our responsibilities towards each other and to share that love with each other. But it's easy. Start taking things for granted. Remember, and I've said it before, when I first became a pastor, I mentioned that one time, and this old man walked up to me and he said, I got married however many years ago and I told my wife I loved her. I don't need to tell her every day. If it ever changes, I'll let her know. And I looked at him and I said, you're a jerk. And he's like, what? He's like, I was just like, I'm serious, you are. That's cruel, alright? I'm glad God doesn't do that. Did you know every day of your life, I don't care who you are, God tells you He loves you every day. It's in His book. I mean, you open up that book and the letter says He loves you. You look outside, He loves you. You look at your blessings, He loves you. You look at that precious child He gave you, He loves you. That grandchild that's coming to Davis is the gift from God. God loves us. I mean, you look around and you see a flower, you see a cloud in the sky, you see the sun shining, you see the beautiful colors. That's all a gift from God. These pews that we sit on, this church house that we meet in, the church that we fellowship with, the things we stopped and we went around the room this morning and said, God's been good to me. He's been good to every one of us for one reason, because He loves you. And we keep ourselves in the love of God by looking around and taking some inventory every once in a while and saying, God sure is good to me. And God is good to you. So, beloved, let's take an inward look this morning. This answer. Are you growing in the Lord? There's some believers and some people that are saved that have been sitting in church for 30 years and they just aren't growing. Say shame on that pastor. Maybe, but that's not the issue. As long as that book's being open and as long as you own a Bible, you should be growing in the Lord. You say, well, I don't have a Bible. We'll give you one today. We want you to have God's Word. We want you to open up this book and see how great God is. So, believer, inward look this morning. Are you growing?
Are you praying? And do you sit here today? Can you look up to heaven and say, I know God loves me? Because if there's one thing that I've learned since I've become pastor, how the devil tries to get people to think that God doesn't love them. And that is a lie from the pits of hell. God loves you. God loves you. So we take this inward look. Then once we get this inward look correct, we can start looking up. Let's keep reading in there in verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. This upward look. We look. We look, number one, for His blessings, which we've already talked about. That's His mercy. God's been merciful to every one of us. And I think we also need to look, it says there, unto eternal life. This life on this world, it will end one day. If the Lord doesn't return in the clouds, which He could, but if He doesn't return for another 50 years, good chance you'll walk by my casket one day. You'll look at this body that Travis Burke used while on this earth. But my life will not be over. I will just graduate to eternal life. Now, that it is appointed unto men once to die. The only exception to that, that there will be those, the Bible says, who will be alive and remain. But the Lord's coming back one day with a shout, sound of a trumpet. All of us that are saved, we will be caught up to meet Him in the air. That, my friends, is called our blessed hope. In other words, that is something we are looking forward to. So I want to go to heaven. God wants you to go to heaven. There's only one way to heaven. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand this and give me a second real quick this morning. The Bible says unto eternal life. Did you know God wants every one of you to enjoy eternal life? There's an issue though. The wages of sin is death. Now how many of us have ever sinned? Every one of us. Matter of fact, that's not just my opinion or my guess. The Bible says, for there is none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans chapter 3. So we've all sinned. We've all done wrong. We all deserve death. And that death is described in the book of Revelation. It says there that death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. So what we deserve is that lake of fire. You say, oh, this is a very depressing story. It's not over yet. The wages of sin is death. Semicolon. But the gift of God is eternal life. That eternal life that we just read about, that's for anyone and everyone who will receive it. Now understand how that took place. The fact is this, we all deserve death. That death penalty is upon every one of us. And the wages is death. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to this world. Now, when did Jesus's, now give me a second, when did Jesus's life begin? It's always been. He is God. The word eternal means it never had a beginning and it never had an end. Now, humanly speaking, that kind of blows our mind. Our mind's kind of short circuit because we're so constrained by time. I mean, it's hard to wrap our mind around that, you know, eternal. But the fact is, God has always been. And God will always be. That life is for us. Now, how do I get that life? Because I've sinned. The wages of my sin is what? Death. Jesus, who is eternal life, He is God. That's why He came to this world. That's why things like we talk about He was born of a virgin is so important. Because understand, that it's the only child that's ever been born that did not have an earthly father. Okay, why is that so important? Because he's not flesh and blood like us. Because the fact is this, I have a sin problem. He has a sin problem. He has a sin problem. He has a sin problem. You have a sin problem. And I don't care who you are, we all are under the same condemnation. But when Jesus was born, that was a miracle from God. That was and is God come as man. And when he lived on this earth, he never sinned. There was not one imperfection because he's God. And when he went to the cross, his death could pay for all of our sins. Now, understand this. Bill Sutherland, even though he's a good man, cannot die for my sins. And I try to be a decent person, but I can't die for his or your sins because we all are sinners. But when Jesus went to the cross, he, being God, being eternal life, paid the penalty for our sins. He's the only one that could do that because he is eternal life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and what? The life. He went to the cross and died for all of our sins. He paid the penalty. He said, did he really die? He really died. This flesh died. He went and he went there and he paid for our sin penalty. But the Bible says 3 days later, what happened? He arose. Isn't that a wonderful thing? He arose. You say, why is that so important? He not only paid our sin penalty, but he conquered death. He didn't just beat it once. He conquered it. He rose again. Death could not hold him. Death could not keep him down. And he arose. And right now he's at the right hand of God in heaven. And right now he's looking over. He's looking at what's going on in this church and hundreds and thousands of others. And he's hoping and praying that you will listen today and that you will understand that yes, you're a sinner, but he loves you. He died for you. He arose from the grave. And that life that he showed that he is eternal life, it is yours. If you'll receive it. How do I receive it? The Bible says in John 3:16, the most familiar verse, but it's so powerful. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. If you'll believe, is that really all I have to do? That's it. That's not just my opinion. The Bible says that repeatedly. He that believeth is not condemned. The Bible says there was this jailer that looked up at Paul and he fell on his knees and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? And Paul looked at him and said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Yesterday, my wife and I, Grace, we were walking through downtown Cincinnati. This man walked up to me and said, you got a few pennies? And I said, you know what? I said, I do in my car. I don't have any cash on me. I said, let me go get you some. And I felt like God wanted me to do that. So I went and I took the change I had in my car and I put it in a cup and I walked back to him. And I handed it to him. I said, before I give you this, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, I can give you a few pennies. I said, but I can tell you about the one who can give you eternal life. And that man looked at me and he said, sir, he said, when I was a young man, someone showed me Romans chapter number 10. He said, in that day, he said, I bowed on my knees and I asked the Lord to forgive me and save me. He said, I've not been what I should be. He said, but I'm not off in some wicked things. He said, I'm just trying to get my life in order. He said, but I do know that Jesus saved my soul. And you know what? I hugged him. I rejoiced with him. He shared some more about his testimony. But that man, he has eternal life. He said, but life's not going that great on earth. Join the club, man. This world's cursed by something called sin. That even though I'm saved, I still have to deal with the effects of sin. I've never drunk a day in my life. I have no idea what alcohol tastes like. And I don't plan to ever taste it. But the fact is this, I could die tonight from drunk driving because someone else could be drinking and hit me head on. and the curse of sin affects me. But praise the Lord, all that is in this world, I'm just passing through. I have something called a blessed hope, or a confidence that when this life is over, I am a partaker of His life. And because I had a time in my life when I was 14, I said, God, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me, and I choose to receive Jesus as my Savior. And that day, He saved my soul. And I now have His life. I have His life. He gave it to me. It is the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. This morning on the bus, we gave out some gifts. People that sang well, people that did things. We gave them a snack. Everybody got a snack. No one had to be, all right, we got some goldfish crackers. We didn't walk around saying, all right, 25 cents. Well, I don't have a quarter. Well, no goldfish crackers for you, right? No, not a chance. We walked around and said, here, for you. You know how they got the crackers? They just received it. They didn't have to work for it. They didn't have to pay for it. Now, someone had to pay for it, but it was already paid for. Our salvation, some people say, well, it's totally free. Well, for us, but there was a great price paid for our salvation. Jesus died on the cross, but now it's a gift. And just like any gift, all you have to do is choose to receive it. So we that are saved, we should look inwardly and say, all right, am I growing in the Lord? Am I praying? Am I in love? And no, the Lord loves me. And then we get that settled, we can say, yes, Lord, thank you for your blessings, and I'm looking forward to the day when you take me from this world to an eternal world. But then there's an outward look. We'll wrap up with this in verse number 22. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. When the inward's right and the upward's right, look at me, you can't help but start getting the outward correct too. When you get the inward right and the upward right, you can't help but start to see people. The Bible says, and I read it this morning in Matthew chapter 14 and verse number 14, the Bible says that Jesus, when He saw the multitude, had compassion on them and healed their sick. When you get the inward right and you're looking for the return of the Lord, you know what that does? Now, stay with me just a second. You can't help, like yesterday, knowing that God sent that man my way. And you say, well, that man was already saved. He was. I believe that. But look at me. I believe I would have sinned if I wouldn't have talked to him about it. Because God spoke to my heart and said, talk to him. So why would God have you talk to him? Say one reason, to encourage me. Because there's been many times that I've not talked to people and I know I should have. You get intimidated sometimes, get scared. And I went back and I talked to him, and he was already saved. But you know what it did? It gave me confidence to talk to the next one. And it might just help that man to know that someone cared about him too. And the Bible says here, some have compassion. I'm teaching on Sunday school. I'm not going to teach a lesson. But what that is look at me, seeing a need, feeling for them, and doing something about it. So let me ask you a question, believers. Do you have an outward look? We are surrounded every week, every day of our life by people who are dying and going to hell. They don't know the saving of Jesus Christ. This morning, when I got in my car and I drove here and got on the bus, and it was cold on that bus this morning. I said, Brother Shaq, can you turn the heat up? He goes, it's not even on. So he turned it on. It helped, right? It wasn't his fault. It was already started. But we started driving down the road. And I began to think, These kids started getting on the bus. Some of them are sitting in here right now. There's a reason we get up early, and there's a reason that we sit on a cold bus, and there's a reason why we come and visit you on Saturday. There's a reason I give you a little Laffy Taffy every Saturday. There's a reason why we had goldfish today and Kool-Aid pouches, and there's a reason my brother Ricky bought you, you know, him and Miss Rachel cookies, and there's a reason, because we love you. And we want so bad for not one of you to die and go to hell. So you have compassion. I could tell you all morning about people in my life growing up that had compassion on me. Teachers that went out of their way to make sure they knew. At the funeral a couple weeks ago at my grandpa's, it was like a reunion of all my old teachers. They just started walking in. Not for me, they came for my grandpa's sake, but there was my first grade teacher and second grade teacher, and then my third and fourth grade teacher came in, and my high school history teacher came in, and my high school algebra teacher came in, and when she came in, she was in a wheelchair, and she came up, and she introduced me to the person pushing her in a wheelchair and said, "This was one of my best students." And I said, "One of?" He was like, "All right, he was the best." I was like, "Now you're talking, right? Yeah, all right." We were joking around, right? But we had some fun, because I always joked her with about that. But all these teachers, I could tell you right now that every one of them, a man named Rick Click walked in. He was my history teacher and Bible teacher. He has two teeth that go two different ways, and he whistles every time he talks. He's like, "Shh," every time he talks. I love him. But when I surrendered to preach, he met with me after school. And we read books together, and we prepared for the ministry. We talked about that when he walked through. He didn't have to do that. He wasn't paid to do that. But he invested. Because he had compassion. There's going to be some people, Christians, that God's going to bring into your life, that God's going to say, "Have compassion on them. You've got something they need." Peter and John were walking up towards the temple to pray. This man was sitting here saying, "Hey, you got any offering? Any alms you can help me with?" God smote Peter and John's heart. They looked at him and said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee." That day, that man's life was changed. Because he had compassion. God's going to have people. There may be some here today, and I want you to know this. God brought you here for this reason, to let you know there's a group of people here that we love you. Whether I met you today or whether you've been coming here for 50 years, I can honestly say I love you. And I want desperately for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. There's some, you'll have compassion. When you have compassion, you can make a difference. Others, it takes conviction. The next verse says that there's going to be some, this outward look, we're going to look at, and God's going to say, "Hey, man, sacrifice, try to help them, try to pick them up, have that compassion." Others with conviction, the Bible says in verse 23, and others save with fear. You say, what does that mean, save with fear? That means this: with a heart full of love, I look at you today and say this, that if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you will go to hell. I don't like saying that, but it's in the Bible. If you say, "I don't want Jesus," we just read Thursday night Brother Kofor's prayer letter, our missionary, he's over in Mongolia. He pled with his father to be saved and pled with his father. Brother Kofor said, "As far as I know, all he ever said was no." And it breaks his heart. Last Thursday, went to the nursing home over at Brookwood. The man named Henry, ever since our first service there, I had a burden for him. I tried to befriend him. I witnessed to him often. And every time I did, he'd look at me and say, "I grew up Catholic. I don't want your religion. I don't want to hear it. Well, why don't you just come to church? I would be turning my back on my family. No, no, no. 3 weeks ago, we walked in and told me the same thing. I said, why don't you come? He liked me. Good friends. We sought each other out every Thursday. Why don't you come on in, Henry? No. I don't need that stuff. I walked into the service. I looked at Daniel, I think Corby, and I said, would you go try to talk to him? You guys try to talk to him about his service in the military. Do whatever it is. See if you can get him to come. They talked. He was nice to him. Then they said, why don't you come to service? No. And he died. You don't know how bad it breaks my heart. I tell you, if he didn't do something that I don't know he did, Henry died and went to hell. My dad's cousin, he's preached many times. He pled with him to get saved, and my dad shared. He said, I'm going down to Kentucky. I know what I'm going to be doing when I get back. I might come to church. My dad said, but you need to get saved. Maybe when I get back. Partied, fell off the boat, hit his head, drowned. Died and went to hell. I don't like you talking about it. Well, there's some you save with fear. There's some that you share, as it says there, pulling them out of the fire. There's some that need to know that you're heading towards hell. But look at me. You still don't have to go there. That's why I love our nursing home ministry so much. They may have spent an entire life living for the world and the devil and themselves. But you can snatch one out of the fire. And if you can rescue one, it's worth it all. I'm here today to tell you with compassion, the Lord loves you. He'll save you today if you trust in Him. I'm here to tell you today with conviction that if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a lake of fire. But you do not have to go there, my friend. Today you can trust in the Lord. This last thought to the Christian about trying to reach other people, making a difference, says there at the end of that verse, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. You know what that means, Christian? It means you ought to live a life that you don't want sin in your life because you don't want people to get distracted from Christ in you. That you want to allow yourself, you know, simply put, if I stumbled up here because I've been drinking all night and tried to tell you this tonight, you'd say, get out of town. You're a joke. If you met me on the foyer and I got mad at somebody and cussed them out and I got up here and telling you this, you'd be like, why would I need what you have? Now, I'm not making something special myself. I'm trying to say to every Christian, we should hate sin in our life. Because if it keeps anyone from getting saved, God forbid. So we want to keep ourselves as clean as we can. So, how about your look? Start with the inward. Are you growing? Are you praying? Do you know God loves you today? Then, start looking up. Look for His blessings and look for His return. Then start looking around you. Some have compassion. Make a difference in their life. Some with conviction. Tell them the truth. Make sure your life backs up what you're saying.